What are they naturally good at? What do they enjoy? Where's their natural passions found? And let's kind of help steer them in that direction, because we know more about how they can put those to work than they do.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This episode is being sponsored by SaveTheChildren.org. Save the Children believes that every child deserves a future. In the United States and around the world, they work every day to give children a healthy start in life, the opportunity to learn, and protection from harm. Right now, the coronavirus is the biggest global health crisis of our lifetime and threatens children in every way. COVID-19 has already left many children without caregivers, out of school, and exposed to violence and exploitation. Child poverty is rising. With your support, you can help children in unsafe households and help social distance learning in the face of school closures. Here are some ways you can support and make a difference. Healthy meals. $5 can provide a nutritious breakfast and a lunch for a child who usually relies on school for food. $15 can provide a precious book and STEM learning loss for those out-of-school children in need. $50 can serve 10 hungry out-of-school children with a nutritious breakfast and lunch. For more ways on how you can help the children, go to savethechildren.org/savekids. That's savethechildren.org/savekids.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast. And on the line, I'm very happy to have Kirk Cousins. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me. Kirk, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Happy to hop on.
Yeah, man. Can't wait to talk about football. But first, the main reason why I wanted to bring you on was talk about fatherhood. So take me back. I know you got two sons. Talk about your mindset and your mind frame when you found out you're going to be a dad for the first time, sir.
Well, I was thrilled. I mean, it was special to realize I'm going to be a dad and the dad of a boy and now two boys. I'm still in the early stages. I'm still figuring it out. My oldest one, Cooper, is only 2.5 years old, and my younger one's just over a year old. So we're still figuring it out, but I look forward to a lot of years up ahead of doing so many different activities with the two of them.
No doubt, man. And of course, you and your wife, Julie, started the Julie and Kirk Cousins Foundation, and it's a great way to give back to the community. And I think you're going to notice this as your kids interact with you more. I have two daughters, 12 and 9, and you can talk the talk, but if you're not walking the walk, they might not actually fully digest what you're saying. But with that foundation, you guys are going to leave a great legacy for your sons. Talk about what type of legacy, and have you even thought about it? Because I know you said, you know, your oldest is two, but have you kind of thought about the legacy you're looking to leave for your sons?
Well, our faith is very important to us, and we believe the Bible clearly states that generosity is an important part of life. And the words of Jesus in the Gospels that say, to whom much is given, much is required. And we believe that's just a truth, and we've been given a lot, and we want to steward it well. And our foundation is a great way for us to be generous and to steward it well, and to give to those who really need it. And so we, year round are looking for opportunities to bless other people, to meet needs, and to really help share that generous spirit that we believe comes from our faith. So we want to instill the same thing in our boys. And as they get older, we'll continue to teach them about what it means to be generous people and to bless others with what God has given us.
Nice. And to kind of piggyback that conversation right there, talk about some of the other core values that you and your wife are looking to instill into them as they're growing up.
You know, we want to find out who they are. You know, go back to the Bible. Bible makes it very clear, you know, train up a child in the way they should go is what the scripture says. And so we treat that as, you know, let's train up the child in the way they should go. So let's find what Cooper and Turner's natural bent is. You know, what are they naturally good at? What do they enjoy? Where's their natural passions found? And let's kind of help steer them in that direction, because we know more about how they can put those to work than they do. And so we just want to be great observers of our kids as they develop over these years, and then encourage them in directions that will help them to flourish and grow in the best ways possible.
Kirk, I have to say, man, I know you said you kind of knew it, this whole fatherhood thing, but that was probably one of the best answers I have heard on this show, man, because I love the fact that you're like, all right, let's learn about them and let's just see what they're at and find what their potential is and where their strong points are, yeah, and lead them that way. I think that is, I mean, You know, if you think about it too, it's like you have that idea that the parents know best. And like I said, with my daughters, I've been honest and upfront with them. If there's certain times that I failed as a dad, I'm like, hey, you know what? I didn't do my best right there, and this is why. And we have those conversations. But for you to kind of already see, like, hey, let them go their own path and we can guide them when they need direction, right? But to have that idea that you want them to find their own way is fantastic. So I think that's a really cool thing I think parents should think about. So I really appreciate that, Kirk.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we think if, you know, I don't have a single gift of art. When you said draw a painting, I draw stick figures. And so that's not a gift of mine. But if I notice one of my boys has a natural gifting there, I'm going to say to him, Cooper, Turner, I don't know the first thing about that, but we're going to go find someone who does.
Yeah.
And we're going to try to develop that gift. And even though I may not be an artist myself, you better believe I'm going to become the world's expert on how to help someone become a great artist. So I just want to be an observer of my kid, see where they're wired, where they're naturally skilled, and where their passions lie, and then get involved and throw my full weight of support and belief and encouragement behind them in those areas. But certainly there are universal behaviors like being generous that, regardless of where their skills and passions lie, we're going to instill in them and do the best we can to make sure that they need to be walking in humility and being generous people and joy filled and, you know, others focused. And that'll certainly be something we're teaching them from, you know, every day forward.
Great insight in fatherhood right there, Kirk. I appreciate that. And, you know, what is one big difference from the time that you were growing up as a kid to now with your kids and their generation? Like, what do you find like the biggest thing when you, if you think about it in the sense of like, man, this is so different from the time I was growing up?
Yeah, the social media wave just missed me. Cell phones came into the picture when I was in late middle school, early high school, but they were very primitive. You could pretty much only call. Texting came on late in high school for me. So we did text each other quite a bit at the end of high school, but the smartphone didn't show up until I was a freshman in college. And so my point is my childhood pretty much missed the smartphone and social media phase. And then my college years were when we went from no smartphone and no social media to, by the end of my 4 years of college, having all the social media accounts and a smartphone. And so that transformation, I think, will change parenting forever. And it's just going to require, you know, being tech savvy. I think parents need to become literate in the tech so that they know what their kids are capable of doing. And, you know, I don't expect my 11-year-old son, his brain hasn't fully developed. I don't expect him someday to be making great decisions on social media or with his cell phone at 11 years old. That just isn't fair to him.
Yeah.
His brain isn't capable of that. So I just want to make sure I'm monitoring it properly and putting the proper parental controls and safety guards on that. And if we do that, I believe that, you know, those things can be enjoyed and be a benefit to the family.
No doubt. Yeah, you want to embrace tech, but you also want to have your kids aware of with everything, there's good and bad. And so, especially now with social media, if you do something bad, it could stay there for a while. So definitely agree. And again, I think you're one of the perfect people to ask this because of your kids' age and all that. For someone listening to this, who's going to be a new dad, who just found out that their spouse is pregnant, or they're like thinking about becoming a dad, what is one big piece of advice you'd offer to them?
Well, I don't know that I have one piece of advice. I think that, you know, you're going on a great adventure. It sure helps to have a great spouse along the way. You know, I would be losing my mind if my wife wasn't the way she is with the boys, you know, so patient, so excited to care for them and love on them. And she really is thoughtful and prepared in ways that I'm just not. And so I would say, you know, who's your partner in crime to help you raise those kids? Because that makes a big difference.
Nice, man. Appreciate you sharing that. It's definitely a good piece of advice right there. And moving on to football, I'm a big fan of the NFL, college football as well. Talk about your transition from Michigan State to the NFL. I feel like, you know, you kind of mentioned when you got out of college, social media was in full swing and all that stuff. I feel like there's so much pressure, especially that has been put on athletes and like you hear it from everywhere. Like, you know, for me, when I got out of college, I went into different jobs, but no one was saying like, oh, Art better be doing this in percentage wise, or he might do this, or he's going to be a bust, right? But you had like a lot of pressure and all that. Talk about some of the challenges, like, or maybe like the biggest challenge you faced from going from college to the NFL.
Well, anytime you start all over and hit the reset button in life, regardless of what you're doing, it's a challenge. And you certainly do that when you leave college and you go to the pros. I mean, you move to a new city, you meet all new teammates, you find new friends in the community. You start over, and that can be difficult. And it takes a lot of maturity to be able to handle that well and still be able to improve as a football player. But if you can do that, then you settle in, you know, year one, year two, and you start to say, okay, this is my new normal and you can move forward. But, you know, you take the good with the bad. I mean, there are challenges to being a professional athlete. Like you said, highly competitive, can be highly stressful, can be very public life. But there's also a lot of positives. I mean, I'm living a dream and well compensated and have a great quality of life, too. So I think anytime you think about the challenges of the job, you also got to remind yourself of all the positives, and that really helps.
Nice. For you, like, kind of like, you know, almost the advice you'd give to new dads, talk about the Kirk Cousins now. Talking to the Kirk Cousins entering the NFL, is there one glaring thing you wish that maybe, and again, I think we all learn from our mistakes and become a better person, but is there one thing you'd be like, I would have loved to tell my rookie self this?
Oh, yeah, I would have a long paper written to that person. But first of all, my message would be, it's all going to work out. You know, don't worry about what's going to happen. It's all going to work out. You're going to be just fine. Just enjoy the journey, stay the course, keep working hard, and good things will happen. And I think that would have helped. Additionally, I would just say, you know, I was very fortunate, and I don't know that I fully realized at the time, to be drafted by Mike Shanahan, to be coached by Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, Sean McVay, and others. I would have said, you know, take all the time you can with those coaches and get to know them and spend time with them and learn from them, because they're not just another coach in the NFL. They're some of the best that that are out there. And they were young at the time, and certainly they were still learning too, but I had so much to learn from them. And I was studious and learned from them and asked questions and did all I could. But knowing what I know now, I would have worn them out, because they were really, really good coaches and are really good coaches.
Nice, man. And again, being a football fan, never going to have the opportunity to play quarterback in the NFL. But for fans who are like myself listening to this, talk about what it's like to play quarterback in the NFL. And you know, when I bring on a NASCAR driver and we talk about the feeling that they get for driving at that amount of speed with a bunch of cars, you know, on that track and all of that, if you could, you know, describe what it's like to play quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, it's hard to articulate. Yeah. Certainly a challenging job. It's the most challenging thing I've ever done. Highly competitive, high expectations. You know, there's a lot to process mentally. There's a lot to process physically when we play. You know, you got a lot of noise going on in an away stadium. Takes hyper focus, and it really takes the ability to multitask and think about a lot of different things on any one play. And not to mention the weekly preparation of getting your body ready to go and learning the new plays and the game plan. And then obviously all that really matters is the game every week and making sure that those 3 hours are the best 3 hours of your week. So it's an involved process that I'm grateful we get a couple months away in the off season to decompress, because once we go back, we're really hyper-focused all the way through it.
Nice, man. And for you, I know this must be tough because you've had a lot of great games, a lot of great seasons. I mean, I remember, you know, this past year when you guys were playing the Saints and you know, you brought the team down, and of course, and everyone's human. Everyone's like, oh, can Kirk do this? Can he bring his team to go against Drew Brees? You and your whole team proved football is a team sport. But that one drive, man, towards the end, when you guys scored the touchdown in the end with the pass, was that one of the games that stand out to you most so far in your career?
Certainly. All the games are important. You know, any of the ones that fly under the radar, you know, the fact that they do fly under the radar, you know, probably means that you did what you needed to do in that game. But there certainly are a few that stand out that you remember. You know, I think the game where I yelled "you like that" at the end of the game and we wanted a big comeback, that game kind of sticks with me. And then certainly a playoff win, you know, is a big deal. Hard to do to win a playoff game on the road. So there's a few that stand out, and those are a couple that come to mind.
Kirk, I'm so glad you mentioned the "you like that," because my daughters will watch sports from here and there. I think my youngest is more interested in the NFL than my oldest is, and that's fine. Like you said earlier, like, let them find their own way, right? But you became one of my daughters, my younger daughter Jordan's, favorite players with the "you like that." So if we're playing in the backyard, because especially now with the, like, homeschooling, I try and do like 30 minutes, at least 30 minutes of gym Monday through Friday with them, and we're playing football, and she'd be like, I scored a touchdown with her. She's like, "you like that?" So I just want to let you know, man, she definitely had an influence in her, like, with her passion for football.
I love
thanks.
It. That's great. That's good to hear. I love it.
And now we're going to finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. And again, they're young. I get it. It must be kind of hard to maybe sit down to a whole movie. But is there a favorite family movie you guys like to watch together?
Yeah, my boys, they love the, you know, Disney Plus. So they're watching all the Disney movies. Frozen is probably the most popular one. But also Toy Story, really the whole Toy Story series, they really enjoy. I don't know how much they really know what's going on, but they ask for it most days. And I'm happy to oblige.
Nice, very cool. Favorite family song you guys like to sing and dance to, or is there an artist you can't wait to introduce them when they get to a certain age to appreciate that music?
Boy, that's a great question. I love Motown. I love the Temptations. So maybe some of those classics. That's at least what came to mind first. My favorite band of all time is Switchfoot, so you better believe I'm going to be playing some Switchfoot songs for them as they get older.
Nice, Kirk. Love it. Everyone's doing the social distancing and, you know, staying at home when they can, but describe the perfect family vacation when you can venture out. Where would it be?
We love going to Disney World. You'd think they're too young. I would have thought they're too young, but we went to the Pro Bowl this past year, and we got to go to Disney for a day, and watching my son light up as he met the characters and walked through the park, I thought that was outstanding. So we're going to try to get back to Disney World as often as we can.
Nice. Favorite player for you to watch when you were a kid was who?
You know, it's kind of funny because most of them are guys I've now become peers with. You know, I watched Drew Brees all through my years in middle school and high school as he was coming through the college and pro ranks. And then Peyton Manning, you know, was somebody I watched growing up in even elementary school when he was at Tennessee. And then Tom Brady, Tom won his first Super Bowl when I was in middle school. So those were guys that as I was in middle school, high school quarterback and, you know, trying to figure out what it looked like to play the quarterback position. Those were guys that stood out to me to watch and learn from. And then you get to the NFL a decade later and they're still there. And so it's kind of been fun to go from, you know, a middle schooler watching them play to wearing that jersey and then seeing them in the same jersey and now being across the field from them.
Nice. Very cool. And lastly, sir, what are the top three words you hope your sons would use to describe you as a father?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. I've never been asked that before. I think humility would be important. You know, obviously the word love comes to mind. It means so much, but it'd be hard for me to not include that I was a loving dad. You know, probably just a leader, that I led the family well. And that includes not only them, but their mom as well. So, you know, if they said I was a humble leader who loved them well, I think that would be a fatherhood well lived.
I totally agree, sir. Thanks very much for sharing that. People, make sure you follow Kirk on Twitter at KirkCousins8. I hope there's this NFL season, man, and I wish you and your family continued success, of course, in the foundation with your career. And again, I was really honored to have you on this show just because I think not only do you model great things on the field, but of course off the field with you and your wife's foundation. And again, I appreciate all the values you're looking to instill into your sons, man.
Oh, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. Blessings to you.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.